you text me something, you're like, Sean, you're 7 out of 10 funny. You're 8 out of 10 charming. And so I was like, this is a Sam Parr compliment I think I'm getting here.
I feel like I can rule the world. I know I could be what I want to. I put my all in it like no days off. On the road, let's travel.
I'm back.
You know, when Michael Jordan came back to the league, he just faxed in a one pager with just those words on it. I'm back.
We have a lot in common, him and I.
Yeah, unfortunately, when he came back, he was wearing number 45, and he kind of sucked that year, and they got knocked out of the playoffs. So I'm hoping you're coming back a little stronger.
Well, us 6'7" black guys, we have a lot in common. You know what I'm saying? Me and MJ. Did you miss me? It felt like a long time for me. I don't think it felt like a long time for you because you were pretty prolific. You kind of had a couple hits.
I did so many podcasts in the last 3 weeks. I definitely missed you because that was a lot of content. I don't know why I did that. What I should have done in retrospect was say, okay, Sam's out. Let's not force the issue. When he comes back, we'll come back strong. Instead, I overcompensated when you were out. And I was like, no, I am going to create all the content the world needs tonight. And that's what I tried to do.
And also, we were working really hard ahead of time. I mean, I felt like I was recording a bunch ahead of time. So you've been kind of grinding now for about 5 weeks now, it feels like.
Yeah, the funny thing is we thought you were going to be out this month. So we have all these guest hosts planned for this month that your baby came early. And so now we have like a full month of guests coming up.
I can go away again. But you did great. We'll talk about some of the stuff I was doing, but you were doing great. So the Sarah Moore podcast was phenomenal. That woman is a superstar. You did a very good job of getting some good stuff out of her. You also did a non-pod thing that I thought was some of your finest work, the All In podcast video, or the All In CEO application. If you haven't seen it, go to Sean's Twitter and you'll see it. It got 1.1 million views, I looked this morning. That was very good. And you did it all on your own. You even edited it, right?
Yeah, I didn't have an editor. And it was one of those ideas that... So, okay, I'll just explain what it is. So the All In podcast, which is a popular business podcast, is... They were like, oh, we're hiring a CEO. And it started by these four guys, who were just these super rich guys. The joke I make is the All In pod is billionaires talking about billionaire shit, and our pod is millionaires talking about millionaire shit. And so they were like, we're hiring a CEO to turn this into a real brand and whatever. And so I was like, you know, it'd be funny if I did like a joke application to this pod for the job. So I recorded this video. Problem is, the video is good, but I only wrote at the very end that this was a joke and like not meant to be taken seriously. So people are texting my dad. They're like, hey, I heard Sean's going to get the job for CEO All In. Congratulations. My dad's like, what's All In? What's a podcast? And I'm like...
And you're insulting them the whole time.
The funny thing, by the way, I told him, I go, my dad texted me that. And I go, no, it's just a joke. And then he goes, okay, who started it? He thinks like someone's like messing with me. I started
but
it.
But you were like... You were ribbing on them. It was kind of funny. Yeah, it was. So it's all fair because it was mostly funny stuff. But you were giving them a hard time. So that's pretty funny. And then a couple of them replied and be like, you've made it to the second round. So I actually thought they handled it well. Did they reach out to you at all?
No, they handled it well. They didn't reach out beyond just like the public replies or whatever. And then they played it on the pot on their. They played the first 5 seconds or 10
I
seconds
listened.
On their podcast. And unfortunately, that made it even worse because that part is where it sounds like I'm serious about it. And then I start roasting them, but they cut off all the me roasting them and just put the part where it's, hey, I'm applying for this job, which is actually the best roast back that they could have done.
So. I think our friend messaged us and said one of the great things about, or what did he say? He said a really powerful tool is to be able to take the popular narrative and blunt force your way into the conversation. And you did it perfectly. You did a very good job.
Talking about newsjacking. I think Ryan Holiday coined that term, or at least he popularized it, which is you take the current thing, but you find a way to attach yourself to it. And you sort of hijack the news, newsjacking. And it wasn't my intent. I just wanted to try something funny. I'll tell you, we do this podcast and I love this podcast. But also I told you, I'm trying to not go start another company, right? Which is all I've ever done for 15, 16 years is go... Be like, I'm a startup CEO. I'm going to start a company. It's kind of my identity. And I'm trying to shift that. And I'm having a lot of fun creating content, but also it doesn't take that much time to produce this podcast. Like, it takes some time for sure. But like, when you're used to working, I don't know, 50, 60 hours a week, I couldn't put 50, 60 hours a week into this. And right. Again, the smart chill move would be to just take that energy and go be a better dad, go do some community service, and just better myself as a whole. But I'm a flawed human being. And so I need to direct that 50, 60 hours of energy into some creative work project. And so I was like, I've been looking for way, like other content I can create, other content formats that are going to be fun. One of them was this idea of doing like something that's a little bit funnier. It's almost the thing I did was kind of like, you ever seen Last Week Tonight or The Daily Show? It's sort of like,
yeah, I know that you've been loving Last Week Tonight. I know you've been loving that style.
Yeah, so I would try to do that style, which, by the way, very nerve-wracking.
It's hard.
It's one thing to be doing a podcast and crack a joke in the flow of a conversation. It's another to be like, in this video, I'm going to be funny. I'm going to tell jokes and make you laugh. And it's like, wait, is this it? Like within 10 minutes, I was like, is any of this funny? And I couldn't figure it out, bro. I was like, I don't know if this is good or this is going to be a total fucking lame thing to put out there. And that was a nice feeling. It was good to feel alive again.
Well, here's the good news. Twitter is not a very funny place. So even an 8 out of 10 can crush it.
Yeah, you text me something, you're like, Sean, you're 7 out of 10 funny. You're 8 out of 10 charming. And so I was like, this is a Sam Parr compliment I think I'm getting here.
It was awesome. I thought it was good.
But you tell me, how's life as a dad? So you created a baby. You didn't really create it. You played a small role in creating this baby. But the baby's here now. Life changed? Life the same? What's the situation?
It changed. I think I talked to 30 friends. You were one of them. And I think the predominant answer was this is from a man. You love your baby, but you're not in love with your baby. And I only heard about 5 of the 30 people say I was in love right away. But predominantly people were saying, you know, they're just like an alien at first and you don't really get feedback. That wasn't the case with me, man. I was in right away. I've always been, what I always say, with animals and children, I'm softer than cream cheese. I've always been soft with those types of things. And I was in right away, baby. I loved it. It was awesome. We got first of all, we did a C-section, which is like magic. The doctor was like, I'm starting now. And literally, I timed it. 4 minutes later, the baby was crying and out. And then the doctor's like, and now I'm putting your uterus back inside of you. And like, it's crazy, man. Like,
that's a line you used to use, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, Jake's, you owe me a Coke, doc.
Wait, were you in the room? You had told me you were going to be in the room.
I was in the room, and basically what they do is, you know, mom is laying like one direction, and then they take the baby out and they bring her like 10 feet to the side of her. And I go and check on the baby, and I was like, don't look, don't look, don't look.
Yeah, what was your angle? Like, were they like,
but I still saw it. I still saw
Sam,
it.
Sam, you're like, why are you cleaning all the glassware over there?
Yeah, I was like staring at my feet, trying not to look. And I definitely looked. It was pretty wild. It was gory. Another thing, it made me view women as wizards. The fact that they could like have this being growing inside of them and then it like is out. It's just like it gave me like almost a spiritual respect for my wife. It was that was pretty That's magical. It's almost like you view her as a partner and also as like a sex thing. Like, you know, like she's sexualized to you. After this, I'm like, you're a god. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine, like, you are not, like, just beautiful to me. You are, like, this, like, spiritual being. So, like, the immense amount of respect. Another thing that happened, I remember thinking, the week I went in, or the week we had the baby, I think the stock market was, like, dying or something. I barely looked. But I remember thinking, like, the volume of love that I had for this new baby was so loud that every other problem was just silent. I just didn't care nearly as much. And so that was like a pretty breathtaking thing to have. Did you experience that?
Some of those things you just described. So I would say the first 6 weeks after watching my wife give birth was like, I was like, you know, can I refill that for you? What do you need? And let's just sit down and talk about your needs for a little bit. Like, how can I, the peasant pleb that I am compared to you, just make your life 1 ounce easier? And it lasted like only 6 weeks, I gotta say. I reverted back to my normal self after that. But like for 6 weeks, the visceral feeling of watching that happen was, it made me just be like, okay, you're a miracle, and I'm here to ease your life in any way that I can, because you just did the hardest thing I've ever seen. Like, you know, I don't know what a C-section is like, but like, you know, my wife was doing all the pushing and all that stuff, and it's just like a primal experience, no epidural, all that crap. And so after that, I was definitely like you, like you're saying, just in awe. And you see, you know, like a lot of people ask me when we got married, they're like, oh, you're married now, you know, is it different with you guys? I was like, no, we've been living together for 3 years, like literally nothing changed. And then, but the time something did change was after the baby, and not even because of the baby, more how I saw her just changed, you know. I saw her perform, you know, an act of God, and so that was cool. So definitely felt that. Didn't feel the instant attachment, but that's cool that you did. Did you do like skin to skin and all that? Was it like is it like a pheromone thing? Or like, tell me, is it chemical or was it philosophical? Like, did you think it, or did it just like feel like were there just the chemicals in your brain going off? What was it?
I haven't worn a shirt in 2 weeks. I basically just, for me, it was.
That's not what they mean when they say. grocery store.
Yeah, I went and bought a bunch of beaters. I've only been wearing beaters basically for easy access. I did it just to keep the kid warm. I mean, I do it just to keep her warm, and it feels nice touching her skin. It's just like, I just like touching her. Men are a little bit different, I've noticed. I watch a video on Instagram. It's like, I'm just like playing with her face and like just like rubbing her cheeks and like rubbing her chest and rubbing her back. I just like touching her. It just makes me feel good to touch her, and I think it keeps her warm.
Yeah. You also said something like it makes the other problems seem small. That's definitely true, right? Because everything's relative in life. Like, you know, isn't it crazy? Like, I saw a video the other day on TikTok. It made me so sad. It was this video. It wasn't meant to be a sad video. It was like, you know, these YouTubers that vlog their life. It was a guy vlogging his day, except he was in Peru and they lived in a hut with like dirt floor. And his two kids, it was like, he wakes up at 5 a.m, he does his morning routine, which is he does push-ups. He was basically doing like Andrew Huberman, but like, you know, the real shit, you know, like he's doing push-ups on the dirt floor. He's outside in nature because his home is partially in nature. And his kids were these two small kids, maybe like 3 and 5 years old. And they were like just warming themselves up with like the hot water in the morning. And then they were doing their schoolwork on the like cot that they were living on. I'll play this video. It's sad and it's like heartwarming at the same time. It's this weird thing. And especially, you know, like my daughter's the same age as the kid in the video. And so like, you just see the difference in quality of life and it's kind of stunning. And it's not the first time, right? Like I lived in Indonesia, you know, my family's from India. Like I've seen poverty before, but every time you see it, it's like, you know, just like puts it back in the front of your brain rather than
the back of
your brain.
Yeah, but was the guy happy?
He was super happy, and that's what I was, or like, he was happy. He was as happy as I am. And I'm like, you know, this is like some, obviously like college wisdom, but like, it really is just, we acclimate to whatever our circumstances are, and we have the sort of like a baseline normal, but it is also, everything is relative. And so it's relative to your expectations, it's relative to your neighbors, and it's relative to what you know and what you felt. And so for him, you know, whatever was happening that day would spike him up towards, you know, peak happiness. And if something was what went wrong, it would go a little bit below. And so like, but the absolute should have been, if you just look objectively, if an alien was watching, they would say, certainly this person is at least 10 times happier on an absolute basis. And it's like, no, not at all. We're actually probably exactly the same on an absolute basis. But one thing that does happen is if you have, you know, a kid, like your quote-unquote problems from before are no longer problems. Or like, you know, your kid has a runny nose and a cough, and all of a sudden, who cares what's happening in Slack or whatever else. And I think that's one of the many blessings that kids will give you. The other, which you haven't experienced yet probably, is when you are talking, like when a kid is little, like maybe let's say a year and a half years old, you're showing them things and you're like, look, like, oh my God, the water is dripping. Or like, look at this. I can take this eraser and I can erase the words. It's gone. It's magic. And like, in trying to make the kid like see the magic in the everyday things, like you obviously are also there for the ride. And so you slow down and start to like, even when you're kind of faking it for the kid, you are feeling the same wonder about right. all the little things. And that's like the other huge thing that kids, I think, do for you.
I'm excited for that. Another thing that I don't think people discussed enough, and I think it's probably because I hang out with a bunch of Peter Pans. So like most of my friends are between 30 and 40, have like some type of financial success and just like go to Spain when they want, are single.
Can pronounce Benita.
Yeah. Like a lot of my friends are like kind of selfish, you know, not that that's wrong, but what wasn't discussed with me ahead of time was I feel like a fucking man. I feel so masculine having a kid. Like, I feel like it's the final piece of the puzzle and that I can continue putting the pieces together, but I have all of the pieces now. I didn't realize how masculine it would make me feel. I think I read somewhere that someone defined masculinity as producing excess resources to make sure that your tribe has what they need. And I was like, I get it.
The definition of masculinity is looking up and defining the word masculinity to like put some words to this. That's the most masculine thing I could think of.
Hey, I am what I am. I remember thinking how hormonal, the first night home, I remember I just heard someone walking outside or something. Just in the street, and I just like bolted up, and I was like ready to roll. And then it's also crazy how the woman, I was like, and the doctor, I'm like, so when is she gonna start making milk? And like, she didn't have it like 2 hours ago. And they're like, oh, she's probably ready to roll like right now. And I was like, so you're telling me that you didn't have it, and then like an hour later you do? Like, and they're like, yeah, your body just knows. And it was just mind-boggling to me how primal and animalistic we are, yet we try to avoid that.
Totally, totally. It's miraculous.
Is that not crazy to you? Like where I was like, you guys, where's the threshold? Like, does she have to like do push-ups? What do we got to do to like
to get this flowing?
Yeah.
Is there a and gummy like, we eat?
What yeah. And they were like, oh, just give it a few hours.
Dude,
she's
I had
good.
So like, many of those like, hang on moments with the nurses. And they were like, yeah. So I was like this happened also during the delivery. I was like, okay. And they're like, yeah, you can like walk around. Like you know, you could deliver the baby standing up. You could be on all fours. I was like, on all fours? What are we talking about here? And they're like, yeah, actually it's an easier position, less painful. And I was like, every movie or TV show, there's only one position that they show.
Well, so they can't show butthole on the camera. So that's
well, I'm in the like second phase of the like labor process, and I'm having a hang on, hold on, no way moment. And they're like, dude, it's first of all, it's just not about you right now. You need to learn. That's actually rule number one. Rule number two, yes, all of these things that you don't understand, they're real and they happen.
Yeah, so that was crazy. And then maybe I'll say the last thing. I don't know how this has impacted your career, but let's talk about money for a minute. I have a feeling this is going to make me significantly better in my career because I think my hours will be more focused. I also think that as she grows, I'm going to want to show like consistency. So like a normal 9-to-5 or to make an example of like, look, I'm here to provide. I commit to what I say. I show up and get through things. I think it's going to actually make me more successful, even if I have less hours. Do you think that's going to be true?
I think it's true because you're telling yourself that. Yeah. Like, you know, my grand theory of life is that our brain is basically a giant labeling machine. And that my view of the world is that it's like a box is coming on the conveyor belt. That's just things happening in life. And then our brain puts the label on it and says, this means this. Oh, this guy drove in front of me. This means he's an asshole and he cut me off. This means like something else completely. I could just completely make up a different definition. I could be focusing on the plants instead of that. And so our brain is this labeling machine, and that's what defines everything that happens in our life. And I think that for you, you're saying, you know what this baby means in my life? It means that now I'm going to be more mature. I'm going to be wiser. I'm going to be more focused. I'm going to show her work ethic. I'm going to want to, be less erratic. I'm going to actually like zen out or sort of chill out and be a stable rock type figure. So then you're going to do exactly that. It's a self-fulfilling thing, right? Like So yeah, I do think it will be that for you, but I don't think it's because of the baby. I think that's because you're putting a really strong, yeah, empowering meaning on the baby. You did this, by the way, we should talk about, and I'm so sorry to hear about Sid, your dog, but I read your blog post and you said kind of a similar thing. Can you talk about that? Like, you basically said, like, you were kind of in the F-boy mode. You get this dog.
So if you follow me on social media, you'll know I've got this huge dog, or I had this huge dog. I've had him for 15 years almost, and he was my best friend. I loved this animal. And basically, when he was 3 or 2 years old, I got a DUI, and I spent 24 hours in jail, and I came home, and he went to the bathroom in the house, and I was so upset. I'm like, oh my God, this dog didn't know if I was going to come home. What if I was there for 3 days? This was miserable. I got to get my shit together. I have a responsibility. And so that was a turning point. Was I was like, I have this responsibility. I have to take care of him. And it changed my life. And I remember thinking, like, it felt good. It felt good to care about something. And some people, I guess I could say this now that I have kids, but people were insulted when I would say, I was like, yeah, having a dog, it's kind of like 5% of having a kid. And people were like, what? How dare you? And I'm like, now that I have a kid, I'm like, yeah, it was like 5%, where like I had a thing that I cared for. It was, the animal was obviously inherently probably less valuable, but also like less work. But I had this like inherent, I care for you and I want to make sure you have what you need. And that definitely changed me for the better. Leading up to the baby being born, I knew Sid was going to die soon. I even wrote like a fake obituary for him before he died so I can like enjoy my last 6 months with him. And my wife and I were like, we got to get him to the birth. We got to do this. We need to just take this one picture, and we need to just to complete the picture, or I needed to, of like going from like moron, idiot, fuck boy to like a family man, and I've got my act together. I was like,
you said something great. You said, dogs for guys in their early 20s are like a special thing. Specifically, what did you mean?
Yeah,
by
dog
that?
In your early 20s, because when men in their early 20s, when you're 21, you're no longer a kid, so you have more responsibility, and you are, you don't get a pass for doing dumb things, but you're still a dumb person. And oftentimes that means that you're going to grow. And when you grow, the friends that you have at 21, a lot of times aren't the same friends that you have at 31. But your dog in your 20s is the only one that has been there the whole time. And they've been giving you loyalty and love unconditionally. And so a man and their dog in the 20s, that's a very special dog.
They see the transformation.
They see the transformation, and they're the only ones. I mean, not all the people who you're friends with at 21, they knew college, Sean,
right?
And you're still friends with them maybe, but they don't know what you've been doing lately. And then your wife and your friends now, they don't know what you were. Exactly. And there's really only one
and
being.
They're there every day in your house, and like you said, unconditionally. They don't judge you either, but they, you know. And it's a powerful thing.
The point of my blog post was like, I never truly cared about legacy, because I'm like, the feeling that I'm gonna have when I die is the feeling that I had before I was born, which is nothing. So why do I care? And this dog died, my buddy Sid died. And I remember thinking, like, I did so much to please you. And that impacted me, which maybe I've had a little bit of impact on some other people. And it was really because of my love for you. And so it changed my perspective on legacy. And what's crazy is we were due like right about now, November 1, and he died in October. So we had him for 10 days after birth. And I was like, I kind of like, it was a little spiritual, where I'm like, oh my God, like the world worked. Like whatever 15 years is, however many days that is, that many days plus 10 days is what I got.
Right.
And so that was like a very meaningful impact for me. I posted that blog post. What's crazy to me is I felt like a pussy sharing that, because I used to make fun of people who like cared about their dogs this much. And then I'm like, oh, I've totally become that.
Hey, this episode is brought to you by Mercury. They are the fintech of choice for over 200,000 companies. I myself use it for 8 different companies. The reason why we all choose it is because it has everything you need under one roof. So like my e-commerce company, it's super important for us to be able to easily wire transfer, pay all our different vendors and suppliers all around the world. And the old way with our, you know, more traditional bank that shall not be named, I'd try it online. It would say no. It would freeze my account. Then I'd have to go in, book an appointment, speak to a specialist who would try to upsell me on something I didn't need. And then finally, after, you know, 30 minutes there, then they charge me $50 for the pleasure of that terrible interaction. And now with Mercury, I just go online, push two buttons, and I'm done. It's such a seamless experience. It's very intuitive. Everything's under one place. They basically took all the things any company would need for their financial tech, and they made it super easy to use and put it under into one platform. So highly, highly recommend it. If you're not using Mercury, I question your judgment. So that's it. You've heard it on My First Million. For more information, check out mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Check show notes for details.
If you ever, I mean, it might be too raw for you at the moment, but there's a great, there's a guy who runs, or like is the main host of SportsCenter, Scott Van Pelt. And he did a tribute to his dog when his dog passed on air on SportsCenter for like 3 minutes. He just talked. And, you know, definitely going to cry, you know, when you watch that. And, you know, that feeling is, I don't know anybody who has a dog that doesn't love their dog. I don't know anybody who loves their dog that wouldn't feel that way. So, you know, it is completely reasonable.
It was the first time I've cried in probably 13 years. And I was like, oh my God. Like, so it was pretty wild. But I'm happy it worked out. And I have one bone to pick with you. I wish you would have told me to have a kid sooner. I wish you would have told me, because you've always been like Mr. Cool Guy, where you like you withhold a little bit of emotion where you don't want to express how wonderful it is. And well, maybe you just don't feel that way, but I don't think that's true. But like within days of having her, I remember thinking there was no reason for me not to do this 4 years sooner, because then I will have 4 years left. Because if I die at the same age, I would have had four additional years. I wish you would have told me to do it sooner. I wish that's one of my only regret. And not a lot of people talk about that. They always say, oh, wait, you've got time. Man, it's pretty awesome. I wish I would have done it sooner.
Yeah, I think I guess my personal advice would still be the same. So kids are amazing, awesome, and so like so much fun. Like, you know, the fun gets baked into your day. You don't have to like go do anything. Like what you don't realize when you're in your like 20s or 30s or you're single or whatever is like you have to basically chase fun. It's like, oh, I'm going to fucking Coachella, and then I'm going to this thing. I'm gonna go hang out over here, and then I'm gonna learn this new skill, and I'm gonna do all these things. And you look at people with kids and you're like, ah, suckers trapped in jail with their kids. And what they don't realize is you basically took all of the dope life experiences, you simplified them, and you get to just have them in your house all the time. And like, that's actually what's happening to those people you think are trapped with their kids. But like the people and their kids, you know, you don't want to be that obnoxious, condescending person with kids. It's just like my brother-in-law said this once, and he's like, you know, the only real person that like we could talk real with each other. And he's like, your life doesn't have any meaning till you have kids. He's like, that's just how I feel. Okay. He's like, I know I'm not supposed to say that. I know that's
I'm going to gatekeep from now on. When people say stuff like, oh, you don't know any better. Wait till you have kids. You don't know.
He said that not to me, but he was like, we were talking about somebody else. He's like, they just don't realize it. And they're going to keep talking themselves into how, you know, blah, 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 like how their life is so awesome without kids. He's like, but my life, he's talking for himself. He's like, you know, I didn't have any meaning until this. And now I have, you know, my cup is full. The other thing I would say though, is that the 4 years you're talking about, like there, it is a one-way door to use the Jeff Bezos decision-making framework. Once you have the kid, you can't unhave the kid really. And so you're gonna like your freedoms have changed fundamentally from this point forward. And so I think that the freedoms you have, like, you know, that age 26 to 31 or whatever are pretty valuable. You should have them while you're there. And then go walk through that one way door, and like, you know, now you have a different set of joys, but you do have a different degree of freedom. I think that's much more important than like you know, worrying about these, like kind of my age is 76 to 80, you know, glad I had those four extra years. I don't think life actually works like that. I think it's good you had the freedom to do all the things you did and become the person you became. You know, it happened at the right time for you. I think you settled down.
Yeah. But it's been,
you know, 4 years ago, what were you doing? You're living on 6th Street in San Francisco. You're stressed out.
I was learning the difference between meth, crack, and heroin, and like the different ways in which you put it in your body walking around Soma.
You're having a DARE class without the DARE officer in Soma, yeah. San Francisco. And you're stressed out building your company. You're making $37,000 a year. I don't think that was the right time to have the kid. I think my advice was good to say, wait.
By the way, I know that you, well, I understand this perspective of why people don't do it. I totally get it. A night nurse is a cheat code. Everyone keeps telling me, so those who don't know, a night nurse, it's basically this lady who is in this other room with the baby. When the baby cries every 3 hours, she goes and wakes up mom and says, all right, heifer, it's time to feed. All right, cow. Like that's my wife was basically a cow for 3 months. And she's like, hey, whip the boob out. You're good to go. And I sleep in a separate room. And my sleep has been awesome. Women, I don't know if it's my wife, but I feel like a lot of women, they go through the waking up every 3 hours and they still have a pretty good day the next day. Maybe they're just running on adrenaline. But for me, I cannot wake up every 3 hours and still be a functioning human being the next day.
You need a night nurse too.
I need a night nurse. I want someone to swaddle me. I would love to get swaddled.
Dude, I still sleep with my wife's pregnancy pillow because I'm like, this is incredible. This is the level of comfort that was available to me. Like, why is this only for pregnant women? Justice for non-pregnant women.
My knees haven't touched in bed for like the last 9 months. Like, dude, knees should not be touching when
Did
you
I
sleep.
Did I send you it's, that one pregnancy pillow, the Swedish one? Somebody sent this to me and I was like, a Swedish pregnancy pillow. Can I just get one off Amazon? And they're like, brother, just shut up and trust me. And I did. I ordered this thing. It took like a week and a half to arrive. And boy, has it arrived in my life. Yeah. You know, my kid, my daughter's four now. That's 4 years I've been sleeping with this pillow. I bought two. It's incredible.
Hey, I've been wearing nipple guards when I go running. So like, hey, I'm all about all the different pregnancy stuff. But yeah, it's been awesome. I'm going to try and not be that guy that posts all this stuff on social media, but I might be. You don't post your children, do you?
Well, I don't use Instagram and stuff, so I don't really.
But is it a rule that you don't do it?
No. I just.
You just haven't gotten around to it.
I don't like to post that type of stuff. I post, like, I'll tweet random thoughts or I'll do a podcast. That's like what I like to put thoughts out there, not necessarily like life pictures.
Well, I'm going to try also not to be that guy, but we'll see if I can keep up with that.
All right. Well, this is the catch-up episode. We'll just go ahead and publish this, even though it's totally different than a normal episode. It's us reconnecting, rebonding. We needed a little skin-to-skin after what was only 2 weeks apart.
Pop that top, bro. Let me put my cheek to your chest, man. Warm my cheeks. All right, that's the pod.
I feel like I can rule the world. I know I could be what I want to. I put my all in it like no days off. On the road, let's travel, never looking back.
All right, this episode is brought to you by Mercury. They are the finance platform of choice for over 200,000 companies. Shouldn't be surprised because I use it myself for not one, not two, but I have 8 different Mercury accounts. So I have 7 for different companies that I'm a part of, and then I have my own personal account because now they have personal banking, which is a really cool feature. I highly, highly recommend it. Like I said, I use it myself. And the reason why is because the way that Mercury works is beautiful. It's very intuitive. And you could tell that it's actually made by a startup founder. It's an entrepreneur. You could tell it's made by somebody who used other banking products in the past and didn't like all the different rough edges and annoyances and decided to, you know, actually fix it himself. And really, any type of entrepreneur you are, let's say you're an agency, well, one of the things every agency has to do is be able to send invoices, easily create them, send them to customers, and stay current on your balances with all your customers. Well, you can do that inside Mercury. And so I think that Mercury is great. Highly recommend you check it out. And thank you for sponsoring the show.
For more information, check out mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Check show notes for details.